Okay, so we are at the bottom of Lamed Aleph Lamed Beis. There's about two dots that appear 5 lines from the bottom. I think these are actually the first two dots in the parak, right? I just can't think of any others. Right, these are the first two dots in the parak, the first two dafim or so we're discussing. We're discussing lulav, and then at the end here is discussing esrog hayavesh, which I think mitzvah b'aveirah was covered. It was all in the context of what is a lulav yavesh or guzzle look like. That was really the first phrase of the raisa, and now we're at the second phrase of the raisa, of the mishnah. Excuse me, where the mishnah said v'shel asherah v'shel ir nidachas pasul. Right, the Mishnah said that a Asherah tree as well as a lulav that comes from an Ir Nidachas are both pasul. So what's an Asherah, what's an Ir Nidachas? So an Ir Nidachas is the city that was the worship of Avodah Zarah, and it was, what do you call it? That's what I'm looking for. You know, when they condemned, right, condemned to be entirely killed, everybody's supposed to be killed, and everything that was there was supposed to be completely destroyed. And Rashi there, it already invokes the term Ksusei Mechdashi Ureh. It does not exist. Okay, so that's Ir Nidachas. But what about, Rashi doesn't invoke that term. He said Ein Shiro Kaim. It doesn't have a shir. That's an Ir Nidachas. It doesn't have an amount. There's no size to it. It's not real. And Shel Asherah is an Ilan, is a tree that which they worship Avodah Zarah, and the Gemara will explain. That's what Rashi said in our Mishnah. So we have a problem with that if it's just a tree that they worship Avodah Zarah. The Gemara says, Shel Asherah Shel Nidachas, and it asks, V'Shel Asherah Pasul? Question mark, right? And Asherah is Pasul. V'ha Amar Rava, but Rava made a statement, Lulav Shel Avodah Zarah Lo Yitol V'Imlatal Kasher. Right, Rava made a statement that a lulav of Avodah Zarah, you shall not pick it up, but if you pick it up, it's kosher. Right, so we have a problem. On one hand, the Mishnah says puzzle. So when you use the term puzzle, puzzle means puzzle. Puzzle means treif. Puzzle means no fooling around. It ain't going to be good. You're not going to be able to figure out a way for it to be good. And now Rava's coming along and saying, a lulav of Avodah Zarah, which presumably is the same thing, at first glance is the same thing, right, is only pasul l'charchila, is only pasul ideally. But if you pick it up, if b'di'evit, if there's nothing else around, you can't get another lulav, right, or you picked it up and without realizing that it's a avodah zarah, it actually was okay, you fulfilled your mitzvah, everything was fine. So you're yotzei b'di'evit. So that's a problem.
If you pick it up knowing that it's possible, you pick it up knowing it's a Avodah Zarah.
Right.
You say you could still use it and b'dyevet, it's okay.
You could still, well, how exactly you clean it. I mean, if someone would come to me and say, hi, I have this lulav, I heard, you know, there's a little sticker on it that it's used, and you know, it was once used for Avodah Zarah, what do you think? Can I use it? Is it all right? So the answer would be no.
But that's l'chachila, because they're asking ahead of time.
Right, so we're saying b'di'evid. So b'di'evid is, if you picked it up, meaning I guess you picked it up, you're yotzei the mitzvah already.
Right.
And now you put it down. And now I'm wondering, okay, now can I be yotzei? Was I good? Was I yotze? Was everything all right? And I have to pick the wrong Gemara. Is everything all right? So for that, the answer would be yes. Everything is all right. Everything is fine. You were yotze.
In here.
You were yotze. Down here. You were yotze. It's good.
What? Why? This comes up all the time. Don't do this. But if you did it, under some circumstance, as we've seen through Shas, your yotzei for whatever.
Right.
So, what's the thinking behind?
Okay.
Behind that.
Okay, good. So let's take a look at Rashi here. Rashi on the left side, where it says lulav shel avodah zarah.
Okay.
So lulav shel avodah zarah on the left side in Rashi is about 15 lines up. Yeah, something like that. So lulav shel avodah zarah, what is it? So it says Sheshimshu bo la Avodah Zarah. It was actually used for Avodah Zarah. It doesn't actually say it was worshipped, which is interesting. I mean, maybe it is, maybe it isn't. But L'chaved Lefaneha Karka. that it, like, you know, it was placed kind of to honor the ground in front of the Avodah Zarah. You know, it was used as a decoration. Inami, Shavudasa Belulav, Lahaviru Lefaneha, Ulazarka Bel. Or it was used for a lulav. I mean, they did the avodah of lulav, that they shaked it and they threw it, right? They did lulav, but they did it for avodah zar. So it was used for, it wasn't actually worship, but it was used for avodah zar. So it's no good. Why is it no good? Lo yitol, don't do it. So Rashi tells us, dema'is ligvoa. Rashi says, because it's mius, because it's disgusting. It's yucky. Right? How could you use a lulav that was used for avodah zarah? Now, it's still a lulav, right? It's still a chefza, it's still an object, right? You're just not doing it in the ideal way, right? So that's why we would, in this case at least, we could say that's why it's mutter b'diavad, right? That at the end of the day, you did it. You did a lulav, you made a bracha, you shook it around, you did the mitzvah, right? It's only l'charchili. You asked me beforehand, I'd be like, you can't do it. That doesn't answer all of, you know, that kind of issue doesn't resolve all of the l'chachila b'di'evit dilemmas. Right? But at least in this case, mi ikar adin, it's good. L'chachila, you shouldn't use it.
But there was nothing intrinsically wrong with the lulav.
Right.
But if suppose you pick some of it from an asherah.
Right.
Does that change?
Right. Now, an asherah there is something intrinsically wrong.
That's why.
Right. That's the Gemara's question. Right. The Gemara's question is, what about an asherah? So the answer is, even not so kosher. So it says, ahacha ba'asherah de Moshe askinan. Here it's actually dealing with the asherah de Moshe. Now, what is this talking about? Now, if you bow down to a tree, or not you, a non-Jew, or a Jew, whoever it is, someone bows down to a tree, or they bow down to a rock, well, not a rock, they bow down to a mountain, they bow down to the ocean, right? So does that ocean all of a sudden become a avodah zarah? I mean, someone worships the Atlantic Ocean, so that means we're not allowed to get hung off from the Atlantic Ocean, right? Somebody worships the mountain, right? So that's it. It's done for me. So the rule is, if it's gedulei karka, if it's connected to the ground, no one else can come and passel it, right? It doesn't make sense, right? It doesn't work, right? So in theory, the same thing should be true for a tree, right? Trees connected to the ground. You shouldn't be able to do anything to it. Right? So the answer is, you're right, or I'm right, or whoever, you know, that's a correct logic. The Asher de Moshe is an exception to the rule. Right? We could skip one Rashi, and Rashi will tell you, we'll get back to that middle Rashi, it's important. But Asher de Moshe is Osam Shahayu Bishas Kivush Eretz Yisrael. It was those that were around at the time of the conquering of Eretz Yisrael, Shehitzrichan HaKosav Sreifa, which the Torah demanded we burn. As it's written that the Asherahs should be burnt. Right? This is a description in the beginning of Parshas Re'eh. Come to Eretz Yisrael, destroy all the altars, destroy all the temples, destroy all the trees. Right? So why destroy all the trees? That's it, destroy all the trees. Velulav
Tzarek. Trees that are bowed down to.
Trees that were bowed down to, right, yeah, I made that mistake today. Someone said, well, what do you mean, they burnt the whole? Or no, it was trees that were bowed down, that you could ascertain were bowed down to, right. The lulav tzarech shir.
Fruit trees?
What?
Even the fruit trees?
Even if it was an asherah, right, even the fruit trees. I think, I meant to take a longer look at the mitzvah asherah, but yeah. The lulav tzarech shir. And therefore, and a lulav is required to have a measurement, right? It's required to be 4 tefachim long, right? And v'hai k'man d'michta shireha. And this is like it doesn't exist because it was supposed to be burnt. That's the asherah from the time of Moshe. But what we would call an asherah, I mean, today, if someone would try to make something an asherah, it wouldn't be the same thing, right? It would be a tree that was used for avodah zarah, but you don't have to burn it, right? It still exists, right? They can't passel it. Right, so therefore, it is a lulav. It's just not nice to use. Okay, so that's the distinction in our Mishnah. Right, our Mishnah tells us Shashir Apostle v'hai Rav a lulav shel avodah zarah lo yitvim natal kasher. So they say hacha bashir de Moshe askinan dichtusei michtas shiureha, who has lost its shear. Its shear, its measurement has become nothing. Its shear has become meaningless. And that's the din. And then the Gemara continues by saying, Deka Nami Dikatani. That would be an example of a keyword. Right? Deka Nami Dikatani. Right? A close reading of the Mishnah would bear this out. Because it says, Dumya Di'ir Hanidachas. because it's similar to an ir nidachas, right? It's grouped together with an ir nidachas, right? Because it's grouped together with ir nidachas, so therefore it has the same din, it has the same halacha as an ir nidachas, shma mina. It comes to teach us this din, right? It comes to teach us this halacha, that just as an ir nidachas is ksusei mechta shireha, is nothing, it doesn't exist, so to an asherah is nothing, it doesn't exist. Now, we know that's only an asherah from Moshe, not the regular asherah, right? A regular asherah, something that was worshipped later on, or like, you know, or was used to worship something later on, that would only be asr l'chadchila, but it would be mutter b'di'evet. Okay? How we doing? That's good? For some reason it took a while, and we did today. It took a while to register, but that's, we got it. Okay. So there is there are a couple of important things to talk about with regards to this. Maybe we'll start with the Rashi here. The Rashi says v'imnatal kasher, that if you pick it up, it's kasher. So what does that mean? Why is that? So va'afal gav di'isurei hanahu, right? Even though these things should be asur behana, right? That what is that? Right? The halacha is that something used in the worshiping of Avodah Zarah, right? It's actually asur behana, right? It might still be real, it might still exist, it might not be powder or whatever. It might not have lost its sheer, like something that needs to be burnt. It doesn't need to be burnt, but you're not allowed to use it. It's asur behana. Right, so he says, no, even though it's asur b'hana, mitzvos lav lehenos nitnu. Mitzvos were not given to get hana from. Kolomar, what does that mean? Ein kiyum mitzvos hana haguf, ela avodas eved l'rabo. That the fulfillment of the fulfillment of mitzvos is not benefit to the body. Rather, it's the service of a servant to their master. Okay, which is, that itself is interesting to talk about. Right, but that's the idea of mitzvos lav lihenos nitnu, right? That mitzvos are not actually, you don't actually get benefit from them, right? So, actually we're having this discussion, copies here. No, I gave them all out. But the Ritva, which we did in class, if we put that out a few more, but sorry about that. But the Ritva points out, explains this in more depth, where he explains that that even though you might get benefit, you might feel good about doing the mitzvah, right? Not only do you feel good about getting the mitzvah, you actually get reward from doing the mitzvah, right? Whatever the reward is, schar b'olam hazeh, schar b'olam haba, whatever that reward is, right? It's not considered a violation of hana unless you actually get hana from it, you know, physical hana at that time, right? If you're not getting hana in your body, right, so then it's not considered getting benefit. So if a person says, I hereby take a neder that I will not dip into that, I will not take a dip into that, into that maya, and I will not get any benefit. I won't get any benefit from that spring, right? And then that's the only mikvah available, right? So can you use it? So it makes a distinction during the summer where it's very hot outside and whatever. So then, okay, I'm getting hana from it, right? I might be doing a mitzvah, but I'm getting benefit from it. But during the winter when it's cold and I don't want to do it, right? So all I'm getting is the mitzvah, in which case it would be permissible to use. Okay, and the same for, he gives an example here of if chalitza was done, if they wanted to do chalitza and it was the only sandal available, the only sandal, the only shoe available for chalitza, right? The whole, you're familiar with chalitza, right? Mm-hmm. The only sim is one that was used for Avodah Zarah. In theory, it's asur b'hana. Yeah, but that's not a hana. That's, even though she might be benefiting from it, she might be benefiting very significantly. Now she'll be able to marry someone, right? Until that point, she might be a naguna, right? And she's benefiting from it, but she's not benefiting from the actual act, right? As opposed to maybe a mitzvah like matzah, right? The mitzvah of matzah, right? All matzah jokes aside, right? You are eating something. You are getting benefit from it. So if you take a neder and say, I won't eat matzah, right? So that's, you'll run into trouble there. Now, whether how that works or whatever, learn Maseches Nedarim and figure that out. But that's the distinction that the Ritva makes with regards to mitzvahs lavli hanas nitnu, and that's a very important concept to grasp. Okay? Okay, and then the second thing to point out is to take a step back, go back two pages to Tosfos on Daf Lamed Amud Aleph. So if we recall, on Daf Lamed Amud Aleph, we were discussing the idea of mitzvah haba bi'avera. Right, that was what that most of that daf was about. So we discussed mitzvah haba bi'avera, right? If you steal something, right, so you stole it, and now that object is kind of tainted, and you're getting benefit. It's mitzvah haba bi'avera. So why is that? How does that fit with our Gemara? I mean, why is our Gemara not a problem of mitzvah haba bi'avera? Right, it was something that was used, it was worshipped, right? So it's mitzvah b'avera. It's coming from something that is aser. So the Tosfos there, the top Tosfos is mishum dahava. That's the Dibur HaMaskil. If you go to the fourth skinny line, the last words on the line are vav aleph tuf. Right, vav aleph tuf. It says v'im tomar lekaman. Right, later on, Adaf Lamed Aleph Amud Beis, which is what we happen to be up to. The paslinan lulav shel asherah v'shel ir hanidachas, where they pasel a lulav of an asherah and of an ir hanidachas, mishum the michtas shiureha, because it doesn't have a measurement. So typically, mishum mitzvah b'avera. So why didn't they just say it's asur because mitzvah b'avera? And also, why did they permit something that wasn't the Asherah of Moshe? Right? Why should they permit mitzvah b'avi avera? There was an avera done to it. It should be aser. So we answer. Tosfos answers. The Yishlomer de lo dami legezel de mechamas avera hagezel ba hamitzvah sheyotzei ba. No, it's not like stealing. Because by stealing, the way you're doing the mitzvah is because you stole the object. Right, but there, by the lulav, right, just because there was an avera done to it, what difference does that really make? Right, so two important distinctions: one distinction about mitzvah above the avera, and one distinction about mitzvahs lavli henes nitnu. Right, mitzvahs lavli henes nitnu, the idea that I don't get benefit from mitzvahs applies when it's a mitzvah that is not giving me hana, actual bodily hana, right? But if I'm getting actual bodily hana, so then mitzvah lihenos, I mean, it's hana, right? It's considered benefit, and the rule in the cloud doesn't apply. The other distinction was by mitzvah v'aviver. Mitzvah v'aviver is when it's integral to the act of using it. I mean, I stole it, and therefore I could do the mitzvah. But here, it was done avodah zarah, that has nothing to do with me doing the mitzvah, and therefore the important distinction is made. Right. I was having a discussion with someone in shul about the Eruv. Is the Eruv considered beneficial? Such that it's a tax question. Such that I'm not getting, is it really a non, if I'm giving money to the Eruv in order to get non-profit, use it as a tax deduction, they could say, well, you're receiving benefits from the Eruv, so maybe you can't deduct that. I don't think so. Just because some rabbis came up with this idea that you're not allowed to carry unless you have the string around you, doesn't mean you're getting benefit from the string, right? You're getting, right? The fact that, oh, now that the string is up, so therefore I could bring over a kishka to my neighbor in order to eat, right? I don't qualify that as benefit. You're benefiting from the Eruv, but it's not.
Also, I mean, when you come to taxes like that, it's like you're getting something physical in return.
Right. That was my position. So it's a little bit different because the mitzvah, but it's whatever.
So the rabbis with emotional satisfaction and contentment in no way
right.
falls under the rubric.
They don't believe in that.
I can understand that.
No, but the truth is the second half of the Rashi is a kind of harsh thing here, right? That second half of Rashi where it says, "Ein ki mitzvos hanos haguf ella avodas eved l'rabo." Is an interesting thing, which would require some
Translate again, please.
He says, the mitzvah of a mitzvah is not considered benefit of the body. Rather, it's the service of a servant to their master.
Mm-hmm. Well, actually, in my mind, that's very interesting in terms of why you can't use anything that's been used for Avodah Zarah, because it inherently was used for the Avodah of somebody else. And this mitzvah you're doing for the Avodah to Hashem, so you can't use something that was used in the Avodah to somebody else.
Right. Well, he's saying you could, though.
No, I thought he was saying you can't.
No, he's saying even though it's a mitzvah, even though you're not allowed to get benefit from it, this isn't considered benefit, so therefore you're allowed
to
use
it. But the other one, the...
Miyasu, it's disgusting.
Right.
But that's like a reaction, that's like an emotional reaction to it. Like, how could you use it? It's terrible.
But you can.
We're saying, b'di'evit, no, we're saying, true, you're right, you shouldn't use it, ideally you shouldn't use it. But you should, but there is...
If you have to, right.
Either, b'di'evit, after you did it, it's okay, don't take another one, don't make another bracha, right? And the other, also, you have the rule is, shasad chak b'di'evit dami, that if it's a difficult circumstances, then it's like it's b'di'evit. The rules of b'di'evit come and set in. Right? You don't have to wait for it to be after the fact for it to be b'di'evit, even if it's beforehand and there's no other alternative, that's also called b'di'evit. Right? So if there's no other lulavim around, so that's the one that you're allowed to use. So it's interesting. I mean, you can make the case the other way. You could say, well, we have to uplift the branch of this nevuch that's used for Avodah Zarah. Let's use it for a mitzvah to uplift it. But they don't think that path.
Well, if it's the only one, then maybe you can...
Oh, only one, right, because it's not inherent.
But if lots of around available, then...
Right,
give me the honor to someone else.
Right, the distinction that was made earlier about whether it's inherent or whether it's external, so we assume that it's an external problem, but it's still a problem. It's still an external problem. Okay, and that's the second line. Good. So now Niktam Rosho is the third set of psulim that appear in the Mishnah. Niktam Rosho, Nifritzu Alav Pasul, Nifritzu Alav Kasher. That was what the Gemara says. Right, the Mishnah said, right, if the top is falls off, breaks off, nifritzu alav, or if it spreads out, if it falls off, leaves are kind of off, it's pasul. If it's spread out, it's still kasher. So now it's going to start with niktam rosho, the top falls off. So Amar Rav, it's not really going to talk about that. Amar Rav Huna lo shanu ela niktam aval nistak kasher. Right, so Rav Huna says we're only talking about if it falls off, but if it nistak literally means if it split, it would still be kasher. Now, what that split is a problem, right? That's the most common thing that we look at when we like a lulav. You look to see that the top, the tiyomis, which we're going to talk about over here, is together. So, what does it mean split? Okay, so the Gemara first asks, "V'nistak kasher?" Wait a second, really? You're telling me if it's split, it's kasher? V'hasanya, but you have the following price that teaches all these different cases of strange looking lulavim. Lulav kafuf is if the lulav is bent. Right? What does that mean? It's bent. So Rashi tells us, "Roshu kafuf ka'agmon," that the top is bent like a hook. Domus l'ish gibin va'azakin shirashem shachin u'chafufin lamata. Right? Like an old man who's bent forward and trying to turn soup at a deli. No. Like an old man who's leaning forward and he's looking down, right? His fed
is. English, you said hunchback or something.
Right, something like that. So that's what it means, that it's bent forward. That's example one. Kavutz. It means there's like spikes coming out of it. Shiyotzin b'shidra shalo uksin kamin kotzin. There's like thorns coming out of it. I'm not sure what it means. The article translates it as barbed, whatever that means. But there's stuff coming out of it. I'm not sure what it is, but that's also, it's going to be puzzle. These are going to be puzzle. Saduk means it's split. Right, so that's the main point of the brisa, right? So you see split, it's going to say puzzle. Right? Akum means that it's curved, doma lamagal, similar to a sickle. Right? So a kafuf means, I guess, bent forward, and the akum means that it's like arched, right? Like a sickle. Right? So what's the problem here? The problem is the tzaddik, right? Here it's saying tzaddik is pasul, while right earlier, Rav Huna claimed that tzaddik was kosher. So how do we deal with that? How do we deal with that? So our answer is, pasul is one more. Right? Charus pasul, if it's charus, means it became very hard. This is still the price. The price is continuing. That during the winter it becomes a lot harder. I guess that's what Rashi tells us. It becomes hard. The shekin derech halul of alav noshrim bimos hagashamim vashidrim miskasha v'nase eitz. Right, during the winter the branch becomes hardened and becomes part of the tree. Fine, becomes wood. Doma lacharus kasher. But if it looks like if it's only doma to it, it's kasher. If only because Rashi says hischa lahakshus, it began that process, v'adayin lo nasa eitz, but it's not yet really wood, it's the whatever, so then it would still be kasher. Okay, so you have a bunch of lists of psulim. The main one that concerns us right now is this saduk psul, right? The psul that it's split, when Rav Huna just finished saying that if it's nistak, it's kasher. So what's the difference between nistak and saduk? So Amar Rav Papa, the avid kehemnik. Right, it was made like a hemnik. What does that mean? What is a hemnik? So if you take a look, Rashi here tells us right next door. If you go to the right next door, Rashi has yafavitzfor, whatever that means. Shel barzel shel sofrim, that is made of iron. It's made of the sofrim. Sheishlo shnei rashin v'rosho echad, that it has two heads and one that comes from one end like a tuning fork. Mefutzel kach gadol haluluf kamin shtei shdaros shidraos machzis al nakan machzis al nakan. So Rashi is describing this split as being completely 100% split. If it's 100%, if it's totally like two different lulavs, they're saying that's pasul. But if it's only split here, now what this split is unclear still. Some kind of split that he is discussing here.
Right?
What?
A particular leaf is
split. It sounds like the leaves are split somehow. Some of the leaves, it's unclear what it is. So the Gemara will discuss it a little bit further. But this kind of split where it still looks like one lulav, so that's the case that Rav Huna was saying is mutter. Right? So two lulavs versus one lulav. Right, so hemnik is, I'm not sure what it is, some, like a tuning fork or something. I don't know why a sofer would be using it. Not sure. What does it say there by hemnik? Do you have something there?
It says something like a better wire,
I think. Right, like, does it say what the tool is?
I don't know.
No. Okay. So, akum, the next one. Akum doma lemagal. What does it mean, akum doma lemagal, which is also mentioned in that braisa? Right, so akum doma lemagal is a so Amar Rava, right, which was a curved like a sickle. So Rava says lo amar el lefanav aval acharav briasehu. He says, what does it mean that's a problem if it's bent? It's bent if it's bent forward, but if it's bent backwards, that's the way it grows. Okay, so if it grows, if it's backwards, it's like an arch backwards. So that's okay. You're pointing.
Drawing.
Backwards, right.
Visual aids.
Right. So that would be a problem. Now, how bent is bent? I'm not sure we know. But Rashi says, backwards is shenekam letzad shidra. It goes towards the spine, right? So backwards towards you. Fine. So, Amar Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman adds in, letzdadin. What about if it's bent to the side? So letzdadin kilafun of dummy. So Rav Nachman says, if it's to the side, it's like it's bent forward. Right, what does it mean that it's bent forward? That means that for our purposes, it's pasul. Right? He says, forward is good, forward is bad, backwards is good. If it's bent to the side, it's like forward. That means that it's pasul. Aval lacharav briyasehu. But if, I messed something up here. Let's done the kilafan of dami. V'amri la, but they said back to him, it's not kilacharav dami. No, it's like it's going backwards, right? So it's a dispute here about whether it's like forward or going backwards. Looks like we paskin that it's like it's going forwards, in which case it's pasul. Now again, how bent is bent? We don't know. I mean, most of them are a little bit bent. So va'amar rav ha'ilulva desolik b'chad hutza balmumhu upasul. So Rav adds in, if you have a lulav that only has leaves on one side, that's considered a balmum, and that's considered pasal. Right? That's considered no good. It has to have leaves on both sides. It has to have leaves on both sides. Okay. Good. Okay. Continue on. So the Gemara continues. It says nifritzu alav. So what is this halacha about nifritzu alav, that it's spread out? Or this part was the one that was broken up. Nifritzu was spread out. Nifritzu was like some of the leaves were falling off and they're kind of being tied together. So nifritzu alav is pasul. So Amarav Papa nifritzu da avid ki chufya. What does it mean that it was nifritzu? That it was spread. That it actually looks like a broom. Rashi explains it's an ashkuva. I guess an ashkuva is old French for broom. What do you do with it? Shebo mechabden es habayis, that you use to clean the house. Rav Osman Sami Alan shel ulo lulav hatulushin me ashidra va'ogden mehan harbe biyacha. Right, and it was used by tearing. They made one by tearing off bristle, you know, the leaves of the lulav, right, and tying them all together in order to make a good broom. So Amarafun Nifritzu da Abe Bechufi, that is used to make a broom. Nifridu de Ifur Afrude. If it was spread out, that just means that it was spread out. That it wasn't still together. So by Rav Papa, so Rav Papa asks, now Rav Papa is the one who made the statement in the first place. Right? But this is another thing. So by Rav Papa, Nechlaka HaTiyomes Mahu. What happens if the Tiyomes is split? Now that's our problem, right? And by the way, what about if the tiyomis? How is that different exactly than the category of nistak? Okay, so nechleku atiyomis. What happens if they split the spine? So ma'u, so tashma da amar. Either of Maton or of Yochanan, right? Amar of Yeshua ben Levi, nitla hatiyomis pasul. That if the tiyomis falls off, it's pasul. So my love, who had the nechlaka? So maybe it should be the same thing if it's split. Now, usually we would say the other way. I think in this yesterday's daf, right, it had the opposite limud, right? It's anything that's right below is below, is gone, right? It's not included in it. But here it's saying we should maybe include things that are similar to it, right? It says, no, lo, nitla shiny deha chasirle. No, if it fell off, it's different because there's actually things missing. Ikad Amri, some explain differently. Rav Matan Omar, Rav Yeshua ben Lakish, or Rav Yochanan said they were Rav Yeshua ben Lakish, Nechlaka Tiyomes Nasa Kemisha Nitla HaTiyomes Upasal. That he explains that if the Tiyomes split, Nasa Kemisha Nitla HaTiyomes, we make it as if the Tiyomes has fallen off, Upasal. And therefore it is Pasal. So we see right here a dispute between unclear who? Rav Papa and Rav Yeshua ben no. There's two Ikadamri, so we don't know. It's two disputes in the Mishnah, but we see a major, you know, there's a major distinction, right? If the Tiyomis is split, do we make it like the Tiyomis is there, or do we make it like the Tiyomis is not there? Right? And the Tiyomis being split is the most common problem when it comes to a lulav, right? So
okay, so so the lulav comes up, several leaves come together to make the point.
Right.
Okay.
Well, kind of, not really. I mean, I guess, yeah. There's one leaf that goes higher than the rest, usually.
One leaf that goes higher than the left, because you can fan out, you can put your finger through and fan out the different leaves.
Right.
Through. Yeah, but one comes to make the point, okay. So just that one particular one.
And that's the spine. Well, that's the question, right? So that's actually a big machlokas between the Machaber and the Ramah. We need to have split Tiyomis. The Machaber and Shachanar, right? I'm not even sure what he means. That they all need to be split, or a rove of the leaves need to be split. I don't even know what that means. But we assume
that it dries out when it starts drying out.
That all of, yeah, okay, maybe, but whenever I've looked into it, you know, they all comment, this can't happen. Mm-hmm. This doesn't happen. The Chaver doesn't have a problem, all the love in Markasha. The Ramah says, no, it doesn't mean all the leaves, it means the one leaf, it means the Tiyomis, and that's it. That's the Skamara.
Tumas is just the one at the...
Right, so it has to be single. Yeah. It is upstairs in my study, decorating my study. Waiting for Pesach. On death row. For about 6 months, till all its appeals are exhausted.
But could you be used as an aid in...
Right, no. It's a lulav of Katila. Right, but what you mean, maybe it might make an appearance, right?
Said something here about pulverizing. You said it's destined to be burned, something like that.
Excuses after Shira. Right, but it doesn't have to be burned. It doesn't have a din of being burned. Right, it might make an appearance in TA, though. It might. Although somehow a lulav somehow ended up in our classroom. Nobody has claimed ownership of this lulav. But there is a lulav, a prop lulav, that has seen better days. After Sukkot, all of a sudden appeared.
We were to bring in,
okay. All right, that's true for the next sugya, maybe. Okay. Yeah.
These joys are very helpful for me. And...
Okay. So then Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Now Rabbi Yehuda made this case that maybe if you bind it together, it would be okay or not okay. So I remember realizing that this is a problem in our Mishnah, how to understand Rabbi Yehuda. But the Gemara seems to explain that it's talking about nifridu, right? Nifritzu alav pasul, nifridu alav kasher. Rabbi Yehuda says you have to tie it together, right? That's what the Mishnah said. So I wondered out loud with the students. And I said, what's Rabbi Yehuda modifying? Is Rabbi Yehuda modifying nifritzu alav? In which case, he's saying nifritzu alav is pasul, but Rabbi Yehuda, if you tie it together, so then it would be kasher.
What are you tying together?
The disparate leaves.
Split, I guess.
Right, the leaves, it sounds like have fallen off. Nifritzu means that they've fallen off.
So if they've fallen off, you have to tie them back on?
Yeah.
Well.
Ve'inam mechubarim ella al yidei aguda, Rashi says. Right, so it's, you could tie it together. And in which case, Rabbi Yehuda would be a kula, right? He's saying nifritzu will have his pasul, so I'm going to be makel. Right, and if you tie it together, it's okay. Or the other way is saying nifridu alav kasher. The Mishnah is telling us that if it's spread out, it's kasher. Rabbi Yehuda says you have to tie it together,
which means he would think it's possible.
Which means that it's a chumrah, right? Which means that it's a stringency, right? The only way to do it is a stringency. So we assume it's the second way, right? And how do we know? It's basically Rashi explained it as a second way, and Rashi knew because our Gemara clearly discusses Rabbi Yehuda in that context, right? Tanya Rabbi Yehuda Omer Mishum Rabbi Tar from Kapos Teparim Kafus. That imayaparod yichtenu, right? Kapos tarim, which we normally translate as branches from an olive tree, from a date tree. He says kafus. That's got to be tied together. Imayaparod yichtenu. That if it became spread out, you have to tie it together. Right, and that's his limud. Right now, we saw this already. Right, we saw this already at the bottom of lamed aleph lamed aleph. This is right the claim of Rabbi Yehuda makes it tied together, right? Is that because he holds that that a lulav needs to be hadar? Right? The answer is no. Not because it needs to be hadar. Rather, the reason is because of this pasuk that's got to look like one bound lulav. Now, either it can look like one bound lulav because it's naturally looks like a one bound lulav, or you can artificially make it one bound lulav. But either way, it's got to look like one thing. It can't be spread out.
All the leaves detached. You know, a giant jigsaw puzzle worth of leaves.
Right.
Put them together, bind them, and he would hold that that's okay.
If they're attached.
Well, you bind them.
Right. No, but they never fell off. If they fell off.
No, they fell off.
No. That he's not talking about.
Before,
right. I've raised that as a possibility, but
does it mean you bind the leaves that have fallen off? If you have three or four leaves that fell off, or however many leaves. You're allowed to have fall off,
right,
and still have enough left. But you say they bind them. You bind the leaves that have fallen off.
No. He's talking about then they're spread out.
Right? Not fallen off, right?
No,
right.
I thought you said. Wait, hold on.
That was in the Mishnah. I read the two possibilities of how Rabbi Yehuda would read, how he could read Rabbi Yehuda into the Mishnah. But I'm telling you that it's only one way. He's coming as a chumrah. He's coming that the Tana Kama says if it's spread out, it's okay. And Rabbi Yehuda says, no, if it's spread out, you got to bind it together. Why? Right? Not because of a hiddur mitzvah, but rather it's based on the pasuk. Kapost Marim means that it's got to look bound. It's got to look like one. It's got to look like a, you know, a single kind of thing, not spread out. So Amar le Ravina le Ravashi. So Ravina said to Ravashi, Mimai dahai kapost marim duluvahu. Ema charusa. Right? So Ravina said to Ravashi, right, how do you know? Mimai dahai kapost marim duluvahu. How do you know that when we say kapost marim that we're referring to a lulav? Ema charusa. Maybe it's referring to something that is hardened. Now, why he would believe that? Why he would think that, I'm not sure. But Ema Charusa, say that it needs to be a hard branch. How did I understand? Oh, no, I'm sorry. Kapos Charus. I guess like a, you know, a more advanced palm tree. Meaning, you know, when they're young, they look like our lulavs. When they get old, right, it looks like a palm tree that we're used to seeing in the hurricane videos. Right? So it's spread out, right? So how do you know that it needs to look down? Maybe it's, you know, it's spread out. And when it's spread out, right, the inside of it becomes very, very hard. Right? That's what they are, right? The inside becomes, right, it becomes much harder than our shidra. Right, so just take a frond. Right? Just take how do you know that we're supposed to take lulavs the way we take it? Maybe it should be a frond. Maybe it should be spread out, maybe it should be older, maybe it should be harder, maybe it should be bigger. Right? All of that, right? Coming from a land of palm trees, you know, it's a good question. So, what does he answer? So, Ema Charusa. So, Be'inan Kafus Veleika. He says, no, because of this idea. It needs to be Kafus. It needs to be tied. It needs to look singular. So, Ve'ema Ufta. But maybe it can. Maybe it should be from me ufta, right? Instead of saying kafos, maybe ufta. Ufta means, Rashi explains, me ikar hadekel, right? From, like, the stump. Like, from, maybe you should actually be picking up a piece of wood, right? And there are no leaves coming out of it, right? Kanal kanch, ein la kaposeman. Maybe it's not referring to the leaves, maybe it's referring to the bark, or not the bark, the branch, right? Or the trunk. So he says, no, don't think it's the ufta. Kafus miklal de'ika parud v'hai kapus v'omei li'olam. No, it means that it's bound in that it could be spread out. But this kapus, meaning the v'hai, meaning the branches, the ufta, kapus v'omei li'olam, right, is actually singular and always singular. It means a piece of wood, it's not going to spread out. Okay, so it's not that. So now ve'ema kufra, but maybe it should be a kufra. What's a kufra? Kufra is also like a small shoot. I think it's translated as hanunami kein charusa el adayin ben shana u'shtei shana v'lo nis'ava etzo v'ata yachol lichva. Maybe it's like the shoot, like the branch coming out before it's grown any leaves. So Amar Abaye, no. How does he know not? A very interesting proof. Because its ways are ways of Noam, our ways of
pleasantness.
Okay, good. And all of its ways are peace. All of its paths are peace. So how do you know that shouldn't be? How do you know that it should be a lulav and not a shoot? Because lulavs look nicer, right? And derachah darchei Noam, right? And the Torah makes, you know, is a good, you know, derachah darchei Noam. So Amrle Rava Tosfa Ravina. So finally, one more question. Rava Tosfa says to Ravina, "Veimatarte kape de samre. Maybe you should really be taking kapos timarim, clusters of dates. How do you know that's talking about branches? Just say you should be taking kapos timarim, clusters of dates." There's no kapos ksiv. Plus, it's written as kapos. What does it mean, kapos? Kapos without a vav. Rashi explains, kapos ksiv chada, meaning one. So it says, okay, ve'imachada. So fine, so take one bunch of dates. Why do you need two bunches? You know? Take one bunch of dates. Kapos smarim, one thing of dates. It says, no, lahu kaf karilei. Because that's not called a kapos smarim, that's called a kaf tamarim. So what's kapos tamarim without a vav? It must be talking about a branch. Right, it must be talking about a branch that that has not yet spread out. And that's what we assume. At least that's what we assume according to Rabbi Yehuda. It needs to be a branch that's not spread out. Now the Rabbi Yehuda only goes that way. We only talk about this because of his limud of kapos that needs to be bound. And whether that also applies to the Chachamim, you presume it does. But you got to look carefully at how that works. Right, the Chum don't hold of that limud. They're just saying kapos marim means this bottom idea. The bottom idea that it's one branch as opposed to a one or two clusters of dates. Okay, any further questions, comments, observations? Very good, okay. So maybe we'll stop here.